Even the harsh blizzards and howling winds could not muffle the clamour of the siege of Cavella IV, which had been raging for a week. The inhabited part of the planet was filled with the sound of laser guns, their hissing bolts cutting through the snow veil alongside the rumble of archaic bolters, the roar of cannons, and the rolling thunder of artillery. The Iron Warriors, appearing as if from nowhere, sowed brief panic among the ranks of the Imperial Guard, quickly quelled by the Commissars. The siege was progressing successfully, however. The warsmith Marcus Narbador was discontent. The mortal slaves, dying by the hundreds from the terrible cold of this cursed world, irritated him. It was not their death that concerned the warsmith, but that they often failed to dig enough trenches before dying. He cursed the moment he had agreed to accept the help of Alpha Legion operatives who had promised to destroy the enemy's artillery within a day. Hatred for all living things filled Narbador at times when things did not go according to his plan. He understood Narek Draeger, who preferred to surround himself with the soulless automatons of the Legio Cybernetica. Unlike his brothers, he perfectly understood the traitorous Iron Warriors. During the times of the heresy, he himself had often considered switching sides. However, loyalty to the Primarch and his brothers outweighed the desire to leave service at that moment. But after 10,000 years, the warsmith grew disillusioned with the Legion and went his own way, transforming from a formidable conqueror into a melancholic warrior for whom war had become an everyday occurrence. He equally despised both the Imperium with its Astartes and his brothers trying to attract the attention of Perturabo, who had long since stopped paying attention to anything. But most of all, he loathed the dark gods and their servants, who had enslaved the minds of many legionnaires and interrupted the crusade. Marcus Narbador, a Terran by birth, always respected the Emperor. He condemned his decision to leave the Great Crusade, believing that betrayal would not have happened if he had stayed. The Castellans, appearing from behind the snow curtain right in front of the Iron Warriors' trenches, puzzled Narbador. They came straight from the positions of the Alpha Legion. "Could it be that the battle at Stradivar is repeating again?" thought the warsmith, lifting his bolter and once again involuntarily recalling Narek Draeger. Once a commander respected by many of the 114th Grand Battalion of Iron Warriors, Narek Draeger fell at Istvan V at the hands of a Moritat from the Raven Guard. But death never frightened Draeger. Most of all in the world, he feared letting down his Primarch. Unfortunately, this defeat cost him the favour of Perturabo, and the Lord of the Fourth Legion turned his back on the crippled legionnaire. However, a secret society within the Legion, known as the Ophalacron, or Steel Brethren, saw in Draeger's wounds an opportunity. Closely collaborating with the Mechanicum and having access to numerous cybernetic enhancements, as well as to the secrets of creating automata, they have almost completely restored the destroyed body of Narek, replacing nearly all his organs and part of his brain with augmentics, and accepting him into their ranks. Instead of the strategist of the 114th Battalion, Narek Draeger, there emerged the Consul Pravian Draeger, known as Gravewalker, the keeper of the secrets of Apollacron. Returning to the world of the living, Gravewalker distanced himself from his former brothers and the Primarch, preferring to be in the company of new brothers made of metal and ceramite. Soon, fate threw Draeger to be torn apart by enemies again. He and 6,000 Iron Warriors carried out an operation on Epsilon Stranivari 9, together with the Alpha Legion and the Death Guard. The Allies abandoned the Iron Warriors, and of the 6,000, almost none survived, including Narek and his automata. Even after the betrayal, Gravewalker did not abandon his Legion, but he vowed to take revenge on the bones of the fallen. Draeger remained loyal to the Legion until the battle on Mazoa, where on the blood-soaked plains he met Cassian Dracos, the Lord Commander of the Salamander Legion. Among the legionnaires, there were rumours that after the battle on Istvan V, the avenging Dracos gained the ability to influence the construct mechanics of the Mechanicum. It's unknown whether it was due to his abilities or his refusal to fight, but he swayed Gravewalker to his side. And addressing the surviving legionnaires, he stabbed the allied Alpha Legion in the back. Thus he fulfilled his vow of revenge. After the battle, Draeger ceased any communication with the living, and more often he was seen in the company of cybernetic creations. Only occasionally did he communicate with Cassian, who made him his trusted advisor and right hand. And they were seen together several times during the battles against the forces of Horus. However, whether Gravewalker perished or survived remains unknown. Meanwhile, the attack of the Castellan robots ended in failure. The Terminators quickly finished them off, shooting them at point-blank range from their guns. When the last automaton fell, as if out of the void, the captain of the Alpha Legion appeared before the Warsmith, immediately raising his hand in greeting. "Priests and machines have come from your positions, Captain Armillus," rumbled the dissatisfied voice of Narbador, amplified by the armor's vox system. "Where were you and your warriors? And why are the fortress's guns still barking fire?" "My warriors are doing their best, but breaking through to the batteries through the corpse-worshipping fanatics proved to be harder than planned," answered the Alpha Legionnaire. Marcus had little love for the Alpha Legion, deeming it unfit for war and forever acting by others' hands. However, he was even glad of its help, but not this time. His lieutenants had been reporting missing patrols to him throughout the week. And recently, one was found with their heads blown off by bolter fire. Not finding any traces of the Raven Guard or other loyalist marines, suspicions crept into Narbador's mind. One of the advisors to the Warsmith supported him, telling Marcus about the ancient alliance between Armillus and Abaddon the Despoiler. The latter was openly despised by the Warsmith, called a pathetic copy of Horus, something the Warrior of Chaos, of course, knew, but never attempted to silence the old Terran. However, Abaddon, apparently learning about the siege of Cavella IV, sent his loyal serpent to avenge the unruly Iron Warrior. The Iron Warriors found Armillus' camp hidden in the snows and barely resisted the temptation to destroy it. Instead, the Warsmith remembered Fulgrim's spectacle on the Hydra Caudatus and decided to do it theatrically. Hence, Marcus finally told Armillus the story of Kyr Valen. "Have you ever heard of the Warsmith of the 77th Grand Battalion, Captain Armillus?" Narbador pronounced, and lifted the hammer onto his shoulder, thereby signalling his warriors. "Something heard, but why do you remember this traitor of your legion?" Armillus replied coldly, not understanding where one of the Iron Warriors was heading. "Traitor or not, he was once an honoured commander of my legion. About him, just as about you, Alpha Legionnaires, little is known. Rumours say he was a slave on the Xenos planet Mera, and during its cleansing, he was taken into the 77th Battalion. The audacious young man quickly rose in the Legion due to his skill and incredible resilience. Initiated into the 77th Grand Battalion, he fought his way up through the ranks by merit, gaining the epithet of Shatterblade after fighting through a 9-hour battle with the broken remains of a Xenarch sword impaled through his chest. For more than 11 years, he fought as part of a tactical group. And eventually, Kyr reached the summit, becoming a Warsmith. By the end of the Great Crusade, his company, like many other Grand Battalions, was forgotten and fought autonomously unknown where. With the start of Horus's uprising, Valen and his Iron Warriors weren't even aware of any treachery. But on Paramar V, they met with the Alpha Legion coming to capture it, and as I know, Kyr Valen and his warriors fought with honour and remained loyal to the Emperor and the Legion until the end, thinking your brothers were traitors. "What are you getting at, Warsmith?" Armillus asked in bewilderment. Marcus threw the hammer to the ground and approached the captain, grabbing his throat while pressing a bolter to his chest. "What did you think, vile half-breed? I wouldn't find out what you're really here for," Narbador yelled. Around the captain and the Warsmith, the roar of bolters resounded. Marcus threw Armillus to the ground and, propping his body with his leg, continued, "The faithful serpent of Abaddon slithered onto my chest to bite. I will gut you like a fish, and your cruiser I will drop on the heads of these imperial fools. Your serpent nest has already been blown to pieces by my artillery calculations." The captain tried to say something, however. The smith pressed the trigger of the bolter and held it until the magazines were empty. Kicking the cooling corpse of the Alpha Legionnaire, Marcus returned to the siege. "Report," Narbador said over the vox, coordinating the actions of the nearest squads of Iron Warriors with gestures. The Alpha Legionnaires are dead, Warsmith. We are returning to the bombardment of the fortress. I hope the debris of their Serpent's cruiser doesn't crash onto the planet. However, we have a new problem. Thunderhawks have been spotted on the horizon. By your voice, this isn't the 20th Legion's ships. Yes, my lord, these are the Ultramarines, brothers. Ultramarines? What have they lost here? Their little kingdom is on the other end of the galaxy. Ensure our guns warmly greet our cousins.
Yes, my lord, the subordinate replied, and cut off the connection.
Narbador then pondered the fate of the Warsmith. Indeed, Barabbas Dantioch could have risen to be one of the members of the Trident in his time. However, fate decided otherwise. He, like Draeger, won the Primarch's favour with his tactical genius and fortification skills. However, just one failure destroyed the Primarch's trust. Commanding the 51st Expeditionary Fleet, Barabbas Dantioch fought against the Hrud in the Vullen Straits. During the battle for Golgis Fort, the Xeno's temporal field turned the legionnaires to dust and their weapons and armor to rusty wreckage. Only a few iron warriors, including Dantioch, managed to escape. The battle was lost, and the Warsmith, once brimming with health, turned into a decrepit old man. Returning to the Primarch, he sharply criticized this campaign, asserting that the invasion provoked the migration of Xenos and led to the death of his warriors. He declared that Perturabo, and perhaps the Emperor himself, made a mistake in planning the campaign. After such words, the Primarch flew into a rage and ordered Dantioch to be demoted, his name to be erased from all records of the Legion, and the Terminator armor, a symbol of status, to be passed to the ambitious Barban Falk. The last order Perturabo gave to his rebellious son was to bring the small world of Damantine into compliance and build a fortress on it. Rumor has it that because of this failure, he enclosed his face in an iron mask, reminiscent of the Legion's symbol. Damantine was a backwater world with an acidic atmosphere and an asteroid field around it. Dantioch accepted the order and, like any iron warrior, executed it, building the gem of engineering fortification thought, Schadenhold Fortress. The fortress was a gigantic spire which hung from the vault of a huge cave. With the help of the Mechanicum priests, the Warsmith created genetically enhanced humans. They possessed incredible strength and size, but were not mentally developed, though they were absolutely loyal to him and the Emperor. Sometime later on Lesser Damantine, the Tetrarch of Ultramar, Tauro Nicodemus, appeared and reported that Perturabo and the Iron Warriors had betrayed the Emperor and sided with the War Master. But Barabbas didn't believe him. Almost immediately after Nicodemus's arrival, the flagship of the 14th Grand Battalion, now commanded by Warsmith Idris Krendel, appeared in orbit. Krendel did not come alone. He was accompanied by the Adeptus Mechanicus Grag and captain of the Sons of Horus, Hasdrubal Serapis. Krendel called on Dantioch to surrender the fortress, which he wanted to use as a resupply point for Horus's army. But the old Warsmith refused to betray the Emperor, and Krendel vowed to destroy the fortress in one day. However, these were just words. Dantioch defended his stronghold against forces several times superior for 365 days. The siege might have lasted even longer if the traitors hadn't brought Titans into the fray, led by a massive Emperor-class Titan. Dantioch was forced to collapse the fortress and teleport himself onto the enemy's flagship. Taking control of the ship, he headed to Ultramar to reinforce the defense of the 13th Legion. Eventually, Barabbas found himself on the planet Soto. He helped the Ultramarines understand the ancient Xenos device hidden within Mount Pharos. There he met Captain Alexis Pollux of the Imperial Fists, who initially hated Dantioch. It turned out Pharos could send messages and teleport material objects over great distances. The Night Lords learned of this and, wanting to use it to find their Primarch, began the assault on Soto. Dantioch sacrificed himself and overloaded the device to thwart the Night Lords. After clearing the planet, he was buried with honors, and Gilliman himself lit his funeral pyre. Narbador laughed. He had never dreamed that any of the Primarchs would light his funeral pyre. However, the blood of Alpha Legionnaires awakened something in the heart of the old Warsmith.
His irritation turned into inspiration. The 13th Black Crusade had just begun, and Marcus Narbador saw a chance to etch his name into the eons rather than be forgotten like his less fortunate brothers. He would make the galaxy tremble at the mere mention of his name. But first he needed to capture the fortress, which, according to reports, was built around one of Perturabo's fallen bodyguards.